hear the promises of God. Fear not, for I am the first and the last and the living one. I am the resurrection and the life, and anyone who believes in me, though that person die, yet shall he live. And anyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will hold you up in my right hand. Let us worship God together.
Let us pray. O God, our Lord, our physical senses encourage us to call you Creator and King. Our religious traditions teach us to refer to you as Almighty and Eternal. But we need to know you in a more intimate way during these tender moments of our lives. Be for us what Jesus declared you to be, an ever-present companion, a loving and gracious Father. We find ourselves staggering because of Jack's death, not because we're in doubt about the greater kingdom he has entered, nor because we wanted his suffering prolonged, but because of the changes forced upon us. In the midst of plans that have been canceled, cherished relationships that have been interrupted till the end of time, and uncertain glimpses into the immediate future, give us adequate strength, pure faith, and certain hope. We pray in the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ, even the Lord. Amen.
From your conference minister, Merdale Laceth, personal greetings and profound sympathy, especially to Nancy and the family. Just as the whole church rejoices when pastor and people covenant together, so too the churches and pastors of the Minnesota Conference grieve with you. The scriptures which we use today are those used by Jack, and they are from the Revised Standard Version. First of all, from the book of Genesis. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness. And let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the air and over the cattle and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female, he created them. And God blessed them. And God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the air and over every living thing that moves upon the earth." And God said, "Behold, I have given you every plant yielding seed which is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree with seed in its fruit. You shall have them for food. And to every beast of the earth, and to every bird of the air, and to everything that creeps upon the earth, everything that has the breath of life, I have given every green plant for food." And it was so. And God saw everything he had made, and behold, it was very good. from Paul's letter to the Romans. We know that in everything God works for good with those who love him, who are called according to his purpose. What then shall we say to this? If God is for us, who is against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, will he not also give us all things with him? Who shall bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is to condemn? Is it Christ Jesus who died, yes, who was raised from the dead, who is at the right hand of God, who indeed intercedes for us? Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? No. In all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. From the Gospel of John. Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And when I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. And you know the way where I am going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way? Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you, not as the world gives, do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid.
Just a few minutes before this service was to begin, a registered letter came here from the First Congregational United Church of Christ in Ypsilanti, talking in glowing terms about Jack's ministry there. And it is too long a letter to read now, but I will see that you have it, Nancy, later on. But only these final words I'd like to read now. In Ypsilanti, we offer a resounding thanks be to God for the gift of life in Jack Fitzgerald, our minister and friend. Shalom. When Lyndon Johnson addressed a joint session of Congress shortly after succeeding John Fitzgerald Kennedy as President of the United States, he began with these words, All I have, I would have given gladly not to be standing here today. Those words hold new meaning for me at this hour. Standing in this pulpit, most recently occupied on a regular basis by another John Fitzgerald, it's as painful for me to be here as it is for most of you to be where you are. How much we would give to be somewhere else. Tending to routine business with Jack yet alive and with us and well. But in God's scheme of things, for reasons that we neither can fully understand nor completely accept, that cannot be, and so we bow to the reality of our situation now. We gather to honor Jack Fitzgerald. We gather to praise the God who has given life to him, and indeed to all of us. And we gather with the hope of finding light to brighten our darkness, strength to overcome our weakness, and consolation to restore our souls. As I began to think about a biblical foundation for what I would want to say this afternoon, I discovered that there were all sorts of scripture verses darting in and out of my mind, almost like birds flocking around a feeder. How could I ever make a selection from such a variety of visitors coming and going? The familiar words of the first psalm were there. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. Words from Psalm 59 also showed up. I will sing aloud of thy steadfast love in the morning, for thou hast been to me a fortress and a refuge in the day of my distress. Both those passages spoke of Jack to me. As I thought about his ministry, it seemed inevitable that I should recall the words from the 52nd chapter of Isaiah. How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him who brings good tidings, who publishes peace. Because I knew that we ourselves would need comfort and encouragement, I considered our Lord's words as they're reported in the Gospel according to John. I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. So many starting points, you see, all of them appropriate for one reason or another. And yet I found that my attention kept coming back to a relatively obscure section from the closing chapters of the Old Testament book of Deuteronomy. Moses was approaching the final days of his ministry and of his life. And he took time to bless each one of the tribes of Israel. In blessing the tribe of Asher, he made two comments that, from my observations at least, apply equally well to Jack Fitzgerald. The first part of the blessing says, may he be the favorite among his brothers. In the widest sense of the word, Jack had lots of brothers and sisters. And for many of us, he was indeed the favorite. I can speak personally only for the clergy of Alpena, but there's no question about his standing there. At the beginning of his pastorate at the First Congregational Church in that city, some of us wondered how long he would last, actually, because he came to succeed a man who had been there for 25 years and a man who was very widely respected. And yet Jack, in his confident and relaxed manner, moved in and far more than filled that vacancy. During his service there, other ministers and priests in the community looked to him constantly for leadership. He never disappointed us. For 3 years prior to his arrival, I had worked very hard to establish a Union World Communion service and never got anywhere with it. And then Jack came and struck the spark to get it going. It seems especially fitting to me today to note that he was one of the founders of the Hospice of Alpena, helping to establish there an organization that would provide for others the kind of support and encouragement that was returned to him and his family during his final days. Jack was a shaker and a mover, but he also was a reconciler. When many of the people of our area lost confidence in the school system and began to make charges and insinuations that caused deep divisions among us, Jack stepped forward to present himself as a candidate for the Board of Education. Some of us thought he was crazy, and we told him that. Why should he let the wolves turn and chew on him? But he ran for that office, and he was elected, and he used his powers of persuasion to restore harmony and a sense of purpose. We kidded him when we learned that he had been awarded an honorary doctorate, though we could well appreciate that he had earned it. And there was never any indication of any change in his attitude from that time on, no change in the manner in which he chose to be addressed. I don't think I ever heard anybody call him Dr. Fitzgerald, always just Jack. He was a favorite among brothers because of his competence and devotion, but for another reason too. His zest for life made it impossible for people not to love him. He was into everything. Not only church organizations, but a host of community organizations as well. There he demonstrated his love for music and for drama and made a multitude of friends. No doubt you know that sailing was one of his great loves. Others can tell you much more about that than I. And yet just a couple of weeks ago, a family from the congregation that I served in Alpena told me that one day in a recent summer, they were out in Lake Michigan sailing themselves. They were headed back in towards Northport just minutes ahead of a very fierce storm. They got to the dock just in time, and there was Jack waiting to catch the line and to help secure their boat. On that day, at least, he was to them also a favorite brother. The second part of Moses' blessing also was descriptive of Jack's experience, I think. Consider these words. May your strength last as long as you live. If you wonder whether my application of this text matches the facts, then think about this, please. That promise is not a promise of complete and eternal good health, but it is rather a pledge of lifelong strength, enough to meet each responsibility as it comes. And I ask you whether there's any question that Jack did that. Shortly after his malignancy was diagnosed and he was hopping back and forth to Chicago for treatments, I wondered how he was going to be able to keep going. But he did. He maintained a full schedule, and those of us who knew him hardly could believe that some sinister invader was inside gnawing away at him. I wish today that those of you who are members of Pilgrim Church and other citizens of Duluth could have known Jack when he was at full strength. His vitality and his enthusiasm were incredible. What great things you might have done together. I hope, too, that you know how much he loved this congregation, especially the music. When I visited here last October and sat in his office talking to him, he said to me, "The ministry here is adequate. The music is magnificent." And of course, his assessment was only half right, because the reports I hear indicate that the ministry also was superb. As weak as he was for much of the time here, he was able to make a substantial impact upon the life of this congregation. I have read some of your notes which testify to that. During the final weeks of his ministry, when his strength was severely diminished, he still found enough energy to play a practical joke on me, getting even with me for something I had done to him back in December. And only a short time later, in the last letter that he wrote to me, he expressed concern and offered some advice in reference to a situation that had been bothering me for a little over a year. But I suppose the crowning day must have been March 10th, when he summoned the strength to officiate at a final baptism and then to read his letter of resignation. His work was finished, and God's pledge to him had been kept. May your strength last as long as you live. When the news of his death reached me, I wrote the final draft of a verse that described my feelings at the time. I'd like to read it to you now because I suspect that it may speak for you as well as for me. The dreadful news came today. It created no surprise, for we had been expecting its arrival. Yet it had the crushing impact of a sledgehammer tapping an eggshell. We mourned Jack, not as a fallen saint, but simply as a departed friend, as one whose zest for life was contagious, spilling over to enrich us all. May God grant him everlasting peace and joy. Amen.
has said so much about